And so today we're going to continue our series. If you weren't here last week, we sort of set it up. Sort of that 2022, as I've been seeking God over the Christmas break, there's just sort of been two words that kept dropping into my spirit about what God wanted to do for us as a church. And those two words were the words of Jesus, follow me. Just Jesus saying, follow me. If there's anything you do in 2022, just follow Jesus. Not follow as will follow Jesus and hopefully, you know, be an example of that, but follow Jesus. And how do you follow Jesus? You seek him. Last week, we talked about the importance of reading your Bible. Anyone read their Bible this week as a result of that? I loved getting messages, text messages, emails, Facebook messages, Instagram messages saying, I'm reading my Bible as, and God's speaking. And I'm like, that's the best thing ever. Because that's what will happen when you open the Word of God. The Word of God will change your life. It will transform you. And if you keep on opening the Word of God in 2022, I guarantee you at the end of this year, you'll be in a better place than you were at the start. Because God will actually transform you like you've never, ever had transformation in your life before. There's one thing we learned last week. There's no actual formula on reading the Bible. Different people have different ways. Some people, you know, they literally, their Bible time is sitting on the toilet or alone without the kids around, right, on their mobile phone. For some people, it is taking that time out and finding a room in their house and spending a quiet time in a physical book, highlighting and writing out things. Some of you have taken up this week the idea of writing out the SOAP process, scripture, observation, application, and prayer, and actually allowing God to speak to you as you write down those things. And I think that's so precious. My point being this week, read your Bible. Read it, open it, find time, even if it's 5 minutes a day, do that. Today we continue on this series on how to help you in 2022 actually find God in a really real relational way. And today we're going to be talking about prayer. Prayer. Who's ever prayed before? Who's ever prayed and nothing happened? Okay. You know, I remember in high school, like praying, oh God, I hope that girl loves me. And she doesn't. And I'm like, God, where are you? Right? You know, like you had these moments, don't you? God, if you're real, I want this for my birthday. And your parents don't give it to you. And you're like, well, that's fine, God. Right? So, you know, but prayer is a really interesting thing. Sometimes we only pray in a time of need because we've stuffed up. And we're like, God, make a way out of this. Like, give me a way out. And maybe it's that sort of prayer. But I actually found a video online I want to show you. It sort of asks the question, what is prayer? And we're going to unpack that today. So check out the screen.
What is prayer? Stale tradition. Ritual. A good luck charm. Part of some religious checklist. Done to appease a higher being so we can get what we want. Or at least avoid the lightning bolt. Prayer has been redefined and twisted and confused. But at its essence, prayer is simply talking to God. The God who spoke the universe into creation. Who gives us life and breath. Who holds all things together. This God wants us to talk to him. In the vastness of all that exists, he actually cares about us, personally, individually. How can we not pray to such a loving God? Wherever we are, how can we not thank him for what he's done? Or cry out when we need help, when we need forgiveness, when we're afraid, when we give thanks for our blessing or question where our next meal will come from? Why would we live a life apart from him? It's not about formula. How could any posture or well-chosen word impress the author of time and space? It's simple obedience. God has made himself available to us. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to trust in him, to acknowledge our dependence on him, to draw near to the one who loved us first. Approaching with confidence because Christ has torn away the veil. He's washed away the sin that kept us from his presence. And we live in relationship with our Lord. And so we ask that his kingdom come. His will be done on earth and in our lives as it is in heaven. That is prayer.
Interesting little video, isn't it? Pray to maybe not get struck by lightning. Anyone ever done that? I really stuffed up. Please don't strike me, O great Schmiter. But, you know, we want to talk about prayer today. It's interesting, at the end of that little video, she said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everyone knows that prayer? The Lord's Prayer. It's probably the most known prayer. Even if you haven't been in church your whole life, you've grown up, you've heard that prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And that prayer came directly from Jesus because his disciples, after 3 years, had been observing Jesus. We're talking about this idea of follow me in 2022. How do you follow Jesus? Well, the disciples physically followed him for 3 years and they watched what he did and how he did things. And there's a moment in the scripture where they literally say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. How do we pray like you pray? Because they saw him pray to his Father in heaven. And they were like, please teach us how to pray, because they knew there was something on his prayer and they didn't know how to. And Jesus actually opens up and he teaches them this in Matthew 6, 5 onwards. I want to read this out to you. It says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we are also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And it says this in verse 14, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others' sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Such an interesting little statement, isn't it? You know, Jesus summarizes a number of things in this prayer. And actually, on February 6th, I want to invite you to a course we're starting. February 6th at 5:30, right through to 7 p.m., we're starting a 7-week course on the foundations of prayer. Because there's so much we could talk about with prayer. Even before praying and having words of knowledge and all that kind of stuff. We can go into all of that, but you need to have the foundation of prayer. And so February 6th, here at the church, we're going to do a course. It's over 7 weeks. You're all invited. You do need to sign up. It's free. It's actually put together by the same guys that put together Alpha. Who's done Alpha before? Anyone done Alpha? A brilliant course on the foundations of faith. And if you want to learn about prayer, just come along. Sign up, make sure you get here. February 6th is when it starts. It is actually called the Prayer Course, and we want you to be part of it. And we can talk about all sorts of things about prayer, but today, I just want to encourage you on a couple of little things that are mentioned in this scripture. And the one thing I want to pull out of Matthew 6, verse 6, it actually says this, and I want us to really grasp this, actually verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. How profound is that? You don't need to be a really good prayer for God to hear you. You don't even have to have the right words, because I think sometimes we stop praying or don't even try praying because we go, I don't know what to pray. But God's like, no, I already know what you need, so don't worry about how you pray. Keep it simple. Religious people try and look great with their big words, but I just want simplicity, authenticity, and I want you to come with the words that you have. That's all you need. You know, I've grown up around some pretty amazing people of faith. I would say my dad is one of my heroes of faith. He's been through a lot in his life. I've seen how he's always had God at the foundation. But my absolute hero of faith is my grandpa. I've talked about him before. He used to stand about this tall, okay? Kind of looked like the old guy out of the cartoon Up. Anyone ever seen that cartoon? Just a cute old grandpa with the suspenders. I used to love him because he used to always come up to me and be like, how are you, big fella? You know, and I'd be like, good pa. I used to love my pa. He passed away in 2011, but he left something within me. He left a legacy within me, and that is to pray. To pray. He didn't come to faith in God until his mid-50s. He was anti-God until God showed up in his life. Pretty amazing story. My dad went to do an apprenticeship about the age of 17. And left his parents and said, I'm never coming home unless you come to church. Because he'd found God at a youth camp and said, your lives are messed up. You need Jesus. You say you don't know, believe or know God. Come to church once. If you don't come once, I'm never coming home. And so they begrudgingly went to a little chapel. I love that kind of, you know, tenacity from my dad. They rocked up at a little chapel. My pa told me this story every year, at least 4 or 5 times. Every opportunity, he shared his testimony with me. He said, I went to that chapel. I went in. The guy up the front, I suppose a bit like me, was speaking about God. I hated it. So I stepped outside for a cigarette. He was a chain smoker, smoked for 20, 30 years, packets a day, worked in a metalworks, very blokey bloke. Went out the front, lit up a cigarette, and it tasted off. So he snapped it and lit another one. And he said after the second one tasted off, he went back in the chapel frustrated, sat down, listened to the guy talk about Jesus. By the end of it, he said, Jesus, I give you my life. He never smoked another cigarette in his life. Completely just boom, gone. God just set him free of an addiction for, you know, years and years and years of his life. The same moment, my gran gave her life to Jesus. I only ever knew a grandma that loved Jesus. She actually passed away 2 years ago. But she followed Jesus right to her end days. And in that moment, at that chapel, on that day, she walked out of that chapel set free from eating disorders. She would have been diagnosed with anorexia back then. She actually got taken away and had shock therapy in the 70s because they didn't know how to deal with her issues with depression, anxiety, eating disorders. And in one moment, a touch of God set her free. And that's available to you and I today. It's amazing what Jesus can do in your life. But from that moment, I never knew my grandparents as non-Christians. I only ever knew them post-Jesus. So it's hard hearing my dad talk about how his parents had no love in the house, because all I ever knew was grandparents that loved. Jesus changed them. And the prayer life that my pa had was just non-stop. I mean, I remember every family event without fail. If my pa was there, the grandkids were not leaving without being prayed for. Literally, it was get the kids, get the parents. You know, everyone would huddle in this circle. And Pa would be like, righto, what is everyone going through? We're going to pray. And he'd pray for us. And all us kids would be, oh, Pa, seriously, Pa, can we go? And no, you're going to sit. And he'd pray for us. But that's a powerful thing. I look back and I go, what an incredible legacy that he left. He looked for every opportunity to pray. Every opportunity. He led the way. In fact, only this week I looked up an old video. I had an old video of him at the hospital a week before he passed away. And I actually secretly interviewed him. I'm not going to show it because it's quite intimate. It's quite personal to me, but I just want to share one little thing. I was chatting to him about his faith in the old people's home in the retirement village that he was living in. And he was telling me how he prayed every morning at 8 a.m. I hadn't even realized he talked to me about this until this week. And I said, what do you mean you pray at the, you know, and he goes, the home. He goes, well, they say, David Hamilton's going to pray now. And he goes, and everyone shuts up like a book. But he was praying until his last days. He believed that God heard his prayer. And we saw it happen. I'm telling you now, growing up, if my grandparents prayed for something for us grandkids, stuff would just happen. I need a job. God would look after it. I need this, or this needs to happen in our lives. They would pray and things would happen. We became so accustomed to the answer of prayer. Because I just had this faith. It was like a direct line to God. And I used to always think, that's pretty amazing. He left that legacy in my dad growing up in high school. We never ever left our home without being prayed for before school. Literally, we couldn't leave the door without dad going, it's time for prayer, kids, hurry up. And we were like, we're going to miss the bus. He's like, I don't care, we're praying. Literally, at the detriment of missing a bus, he would make sure we had prayers. And he would ask us kids what was going on in school or whatever, and we'd pray. He'd pray. And I saw that, and I believe wholeheartedly that prayer is so incredibly important. What's fascinating for me, though, is up until the age of 19, I didn't really have my own prayer life. I depended on other people's prayers. And I even remember at the age of 19, I went away from God for about 2 years. I left God because I was frustrated by people in the church who had let me down. And I actually asked myself a simple question, is this my faith or my family's faith? Is this my faith or my family's faith? And I really struggle with that. Do I want to follow this Jesus or am I just following my family tradition? And I remember at the age of 19, there was a moment that would change me because I was getting to know this girl. I was living in Brisbane. She was living in Toowoomba. We'd chat every night and we're getting to know each other. We weren't dating yet, but I did really like this girl. And I remember one afternoon she called me and she sounded really down. And her name was Christy. And I said to her, what's going on? She's like, I'm just really bummed. I haven't got work. Can't find work anywhere. and it's really getting me down. And because of my upbringing and seeing my grandparents pray, I remember saying to her, do you want me to get my grandpa to pray for you for a job, right? And she was really weirded out by that because she wasn't really a church goer. And she's like, what? And it's like a really great pickup line. You want an old person to pray for you, right? Like, you know, and so, but this girl literally said, whatever. Yeah, okay. And so I got off the phone. I called my pa, even though I didn't know my own faith, I trusted his. Called my pa, lived in an old people's home. I mean, I remember they had their double bed and my grandpa, and on each side of their bedside tables, they had their Bible on their bedside table, a glass of water for pa's false teeth on one side, and he'd always have a packet of Tic Tacs because that's what he took up when he quit smoking. Tic Tacs, right? Spearmint Tic Tacs. But next to it was a little notepad which he would write down prayer requests. Dave and Ruth Hamilton had a list, like a shopping list of prayers. When it talks about simple prayer, I'm telling you, they would read it like a shopping list every morning. Dear God, we pray for this and this and this and this. This was not a religious thing. It was just they just believed that if they prayed, God would answer. And I remember calling my pa saying, pa, I've got a prayer request for her. What is it, young fella? What is it? You know, I said, it's a girl. She needs a job. What's her name? Christy. And he wrote it down. Christy needs a job. We said our goodbyes. I left it, didn't think anything of it. About 4 days later, 3 or 4 days later, Christy calls up. And she goes, guess what? I got a job. And she's pumped. And I'm like, that's really cool. She goes, can you thank your grandparents for me? I'd forgot all about that. And I'm like, yeah, sure. She goes, because it was so weird how I got it. I said, why is that? She goes, well, I'm going down an escalator in a shopping center. And a guy's going up the other side. And he just points at me. He goes, excuse me, do you need a job? I'm on the phone trying to rationalize this. Going, maybe he's trying to crack on to you. You know, I'm trying to do all this stuff. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, she goes, I went to the top of the escalator. And this guy looks at me, he goes, I normally don't do this, but for some reason I felt like you needed work. Do you need work? She's like, yes. He goes, I got a job for you, but the only issue is you have to move to Brisbane. It's not in Toowoomba. She's telling me this on the phone. I'm like, you're moving to Brisbane? There is a God. Like, I, you know, I'm genuinely like trying to figure out, like going. And so this was pretty cool. I was like, wow. And so my, and she's like, so thank you, grandparents, for praying. I'm like, that is pretty weird. And so instantly my faith level's gone up. I'm feeling pretty proud that we got her a job, you know, thanks to the grandparents. And I stupidly opened my mouth and I literally said to her, hey, Christy, do you need anything else for your move? And she goes, yeah, I do actually. I said, what do you need? She said, I need a fridge. What? Like, buy one like a normal person, right? Can you get your grandparents to pray for a fridge for me? And I'm like, am I really going to go through with this? And I remember going to her, sure. I remember hanging up going, this is so weird. Called my pa, hey, pa, Christy got a job. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I suppose. Got another prayer request for your pa. Righto. It's a fridge. Christy needs a fridge. And he wrote it down. Christy needs a fridge. Now, can I tell you, when my grandparents woke up in the morning, they would have gone, the list again. God, Christy needs a fridge. I don't know who Christy is. Once again, didn't think anything of it. And fast forward another weekend or so, I'm working at the Christian radio station here in town. And I remember coming to work this morning and opening my email. And there's an email. So you can take whatever you want from this. It could be coincidence. But it was an email to all staff. Okay, it wasn't just to Az. It wasn't specifically to me. It was to all staff. And the email literally, the title of the email literally says, does anyone need a fridge? I almost fell off my chair. I'm like, my grandparents are pranking me. They know how to use the internet, right? Like, I'm like, something is going on. And I remember calling the receptionist at the age of 19 going, what's the go with this fridge? He goes, I don't know. One of our listeners this morning called up, said he wants to give away a fridge. I said, can I have his number? I remember calling the guy and literally just saying, hey, mate, what's the go with the fridge? It's Az here. Oh, I love your show, Az. I don't care. Let's talk about the fridge. He goes, mate, I was just spending some time in prayer in my basement. And we've got a drinks fridge that's really good. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, give it away. And for about 2 hours, I was thinking, how the heck do I give away a fridge? And then I thought, I know, I'll call the Christian radio station. Maybe they can help someone in need. I went, uh-huh. I said, there's this girl, right, who needs a fridge. She's moving to Brisbane in 2 weeks. And he just literally just goes, it's for her. She can have it. And Christy moved in like 2 weeks later. I never met the guy. She got a fridge from some place in Brisbane, moved into West End, in a unit in West End for about 7 years, had this fridge in her house. You know, we dated for about 2 months, went, nah, we're just friends. But I still laugh about God gave her a fridge. Prayer's a really interesting thing. I remember at the age of 19, that was a real eye-opener for me because I saw God's hand move straight away and I went, I need to look back into Jesus and figure this out for myself. And it's probably the time in my life where I really started to pray. And today, I want to talk about prayer because if you don't pray, I want you to pray in 2022. If you haven't ever tried to pray, I want you to start today. Literally after this service or at the end of this service, even right now, I want you to have the faith to open your mouth and talk to God. And so today, we're actually going to get some legends from this church to come and share their experience of prayer as well and maybe help us with some tips on how to pray. So can Paul and Anna come up? Can we give them a round of applause as they come? I think we've got a couch somewhere. Oh, here it is. Here it comes in. The couch with the guys. We just want to have a chat. And maybe if you've got a question here about prayer yourself, you can ask it. If there's something that's really on your heart as we chat, and you're like, I really want to ask a question about that. As I said, we're not going to cover everything today. That's why we're doing the prayer course starting February 6th. But I do want to chat about this prayer thing. Because it's a massive part of faith. Thanks, guys. Is your mic working, Anna, this time? Just talking to it, see what happens.
Hello.
There you go. There you go, Paul. Welcome back. Are you on? Is he on? Talk again. Underneath, there might be a button underneath. You might need to turn it on. Hold it in. Little button. Underneath. But I'll give you this one.
I'll
use that one? Okay, right. I wanted to get these guys up here because one thing is we've got a church full of prayers, all right? And if there's one thing that Beck and I have experienced in the last 14 months of being in this church is people who have really stood behind us in prayer and support and just been real encouragers to us. And Paul and Anna, you've been that to Beck and I. And we know that you are prayers. You pray constantly. I'm sorry, Anna. I know that early in the stage, Anna would send us messages going, I've been up all night. The Holy Spirit's kept me up praying for you guys. And I'm like, I slept like a baby. That's great. Sorry you lost your sleep. But prayer's been a big part of your life. And you were sharing the 8 a.m. Just a moment. I'll just summarize the story and you can pick up from there because of time. But Anna was saying that she got kicked out of school because she had a go at a nun. All right, it's a simple version. And her mum had to fly overseas. You love this story? This is your story. And so her mum flew home to pick her up. And you're explaining you literally had nowhere to live because your parents owned a unit on the Sunshine Coast, but it was already being rented out. And your mum, with faith, said to you, well, we're just going to have to pray. Can you pick up from the story of what happened when you had nowhere to live? You were just in the car.
Yeah, so she rang them and they said, no, it's like leased for 6 months.
This is your unit that they own. Yeah. And she rang them up and said, they said, no, yeah. Someone's in for six months.
They're in it and then we went to bed and then in the morning we woke up and we prayed again and then we all agreed that we were supposed to ring them up again because God was going to do something. So she rang them up again and they said, oh, funny thing, the people have moved out. So we had a place to stay. So I think that was, the first real time.
Real miracle. You're just like, how does that happen? Yeah. One day the door's shut. You pray, the next door opens, and God moves.
Yeah.
And I know for you, you've seen God move multiple times in your life, and God speaks to you. Tell us, how do you pray on a daily? What does prayer look like for in your life?
I do pray all the time because I always think of that scripture where it says, pray unceasing. But obviously, it's hard to talk all the time. But our spirit man will always, if we're always constantly just in tune with God, will be aware of what's going on. And I don't know, he makes it easy for us if we want it. You know, it's easy to talk to God if you want it, if you want to invest time with him. I pray in the car a lot. I usually sing along and then I just pray. And then whatever pops into my head, that's what I pray about for that particular morning, other than my list. I do have a list of things that are specifics, and I always start with worship and then move on from there.
Right, and Paul, what's your prayer life look like? As a bloke, what does it look like? I feel like as guys, we pray a little bit differently, and I don't know what it is. Growing up in church, I've always seen prayer, even for myself as a young teenager, I probably kept away from it because I felt a bit feminine, you know what I mean? It felt like a female thing to do, and as blokes, I try to figure that out. How do I pray to God as a guy? How do you pray?
Yeah, I think people do think it's like a bit of a strange or out there type of thing, but like in the mornings, you know, I just come to God being thankful too. You know, I don't always ask, I need this, this, this. I'm just thankful for what you've given me, God, you know. Amazing family, amazing church, and the list goes on. You just have a look around and speak to him. It's a relationship. So you tell him what you're thankful for, you know. And I don't believe you should always just, when there's an emergency, rely on the, you know, God, I need you to help me here. You know, speak to me before that, you know, and communicate with him. I think there's just, you'd say maybe casual prayer. It's a bit like a relationship, you know. You talk to your wife and then you can go out on dates and then the more, you know, it goes deeper and deeper, you know. So I think that's what prayer is. There's casual prayer, there's intercessory prayer, there's, you know, you can go to fasting and praying where you see more things happen. It's just a smorgasbord of God, you know. I think if you just think you're comfortable with one thing, you're limiting yourself and limiting God in what he can do in your life.
That's great. And I know for myself, how do you find this? I know that some of you might feel like when you pray, it's a bit weird because you can't see God. Anyone, not just me? Anyone ever had that? Yeah, a couple of younger guys going, yes, I get that. How do you talk to someone you can't see, and you have to have faith to go, I'm speaking to a spiritual being that is hearing but also answering. And I want to give a bit of a tip. If you sort of, I kind of learned this, my background, as I mentioned, was radio announcing. And I remember, like, seriously, my whole life was sitting in a small box, talking to a microphone and just believing there was someone listening out there. Like, I just had to believe that someone was on the other side listening. And I remember when I first started radio, I'd talk almost in a broad way, like talking to a massive audience, like very broad, very like, if you're out there, you know, like whoever you are. And I remember my boss said to me, as I want you to speak into that microphone as if you're speaking to one person, talking conversation, because they're going to hear it as a one-way conversation. And people actually, that's how it is. And I remember having the faith, this believe someone was going to listen. And then, you know, you'd occasionally get a phone call and they are listening. And so sometimes you actually got a picture, you actually, as you pray, go, I actually see in faith God listening to this prayer right now. And he's going to hear that prayer and answer me and be expectant to answer. And sometimes I've seen, I don't know if you would agree with this, sometimes I've prayed for things and nothing's happened, but then 10 years later or something, it'll happen. You're like, oh my gosh, that's been answered now, but it wasn't the timing I thought it would take.
Yeah, I think I've seen so many things through prayer that I don't doubt it, you know, and you wonder why God doesn't do it instantly. And I believe he can, and I believe he can take the 10 years. But I think that's just a lesson that he wants you to learn, you know, just persist in the prayer and belief, in the faith, let your faith arise, and you'll see amazing things done, you know.
Can you give us some examples of some things you've seen over the years, Paul?
I've seen, I love in this church, and I just said it earlier, that we pray for a couple that couldn't have kids. And we're praying for years, right? It's not just one off, pray years for them. If they come up on the stage, we'd pray, 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 pray. And then bang, next thing they've got three kids running amok, you know? You're like, oh, did you have to pray? No. But then we're teaching them in children's church and they're at a time, age where they can understand, like 10, and we give that example. You know, doctors told your mum and dad that you couldn't be. They wouldn't be able to have you. And look at you here. You're alive, you're well, you're running around like kids do, you know? And it's amazing. But also I've prayed for people that have, for healing for cancer and whatnot, and they've passed away. I remember when I was young, I was doing Bible college. We were like full of faith, hyped to the hills, you know, boom, boom, boom. Had all the head passes. We come pray for this. It was my RE partner. Her boy had cancer, was yellow. I still remember it. We're there praying, fasting, bang, come on, God, believe. Passed away. And we're like, God, why would you do that? Well, how, you know, we've prayed. Your Bible says, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And then a friend of mine said, you know, God's no man's debtor. He'll do what he wants to do. And he just asked for us to be obedient and do what he asks us to do. So I've seen both things, but I'll still always believe. always, no matter what, I never doubted that he can do whatever he, you know.
I remember hearing a pastor, when the genocide in Rwanda happened, a guy came out to Australia and he was talking about they'd rock up to these churches that had been hit by the guys of the militia, and they'd come in and they'd kill the whole church, you know, or they'd, you know, this big. I remember him sharing this story, they'd rock up and there's all these bodies and they just start praying over them. And he said, we'd pray for one and nothing would happen, but we'd just keep praying. And he said they were at this one church and they just kept praying, and this one guy who, he actually got raised, risen from the dead, and then they had about five got raised from the dead. He said, but about 20, they walked over and didn't get healed. And his sort of thing was, don't stop praying if you don't see the miracle happen at first. And I'm like, I've never seen crazy stuff like that. That's pretty insane. But then I have been in environments where God's done some pretty phenomenal stuff through prayer. Only just the start, 2 years ago, I was in Florida at an evangelist conference, and I was just in the back seat of a van. And this girl from, I think she was from Canada, she just starts praying for another guy in the car. And all of a sudden, he just starts all this gold dust all over him. Like literally one of these supernatural things I've heard about but never ever seen. And I remember sitting there going, what is going on? And the girl opens her eyes. She goes, oh, that always happens. And I'm like, what do you mean that always happens? She goes, oh, just when the Holy Spirit, he just does it. And I'm like, why? And it was just one of these moments. This is like 2 years ago, and I was just exposed to there's so much more that Jesus has for you through prayer. And other times, like you say, there isn't that supernatural stuff that you see, but then God moves in other ways. And I think, you know, the thing for me this year is that, you know, we would just seek Jesus. Not the miracles, but seek Jesus. And God can do all that stuff, but he wants us to talk to him. He wants us to be in relationship with him. And one of the things that you both talked about was just conversation. Just talking to God like he's just another person in the room having that conversation. Don't be overwhelmed by just that. And remember years ago, I had a guy say to me, just every time you get in the car, when you put your seatbelt on, pray. Almost as a discipline, as you click that belt buckle, have a conversation with God. Just as a little bit of a discipline, and talk to God about your day and what you're going through and what your needs are and what your hopes are. Pray blessing over others, and it becomes a bit more of a rhythm.
I think it is a discipline, because just like reading your Bible and stuff like that, there's so many other things that can distract us, like TV and Facebook and all that stuff. So I think there's a lot of things to pray for. I think we should be asking the Holy Spirit more what to pray for, you know, and I think he will just reveal that. If you want it, he'll give it to you, you know. I think I always laugh with the, as Az was saying, with the intercessory prayer that Anna, she would say, Paul, I was up all night, this is going on. I was like, oh, man, I didn't even hear a thing.
So when Anna's praying for us, you're asleep. Okay,
sleeping,
good.
Hey? Yep. So funny.
Yeah. Intercessory prayer is sort of like people that can just pray for long periods of time. I've got a max of about 3 or 4 minutes, I reckon, like when it's alone time. Like, I'm sure Beck's rolling her eyes. She's like, you haven't even prayed for 3 minutes, all right? So that's all right when we're at home.
I think that's true too. Some people say it must be like a 20-minute prayer or something like that, but it's not, hey? It's, you know, just have a sentence.
Well, if Jesus said stop the babbling,
yeah,
it doesn't have to be long prayer. It doesn't have to be.
What's in your heart, speak out to your Father.
One of the things that I like is, and I said it in the earlier session, is to use scripture if I'm praying for specific things, because the word of God does bring breakthrough. So if you're not a very good prayer, a really good thing to do is first to make sure you're right with God. So just say, Lord, is there anything that I need to deal with in my heart? And if he shows you something, then ask forgiveness for it. And then you move on from there. Then you just spend time worshipping with him. And then you get your word. So I've got a little book that I use that's got really good scriptures for like breakthroughs and things like that. And for basically it's Open the Heavens is what I think of it. It's my Open the Heavens little book. And I'll use scriptures from that and I'll declare them, because I do remember scripture, but I don't remember verses very well. But I do know that if you quote scriptures, you will get breakthrough eventually, especially if you're using the right ones. So ask God, what scripture should I use for this particular prayer that I'm praying? And then start pressing in on that scripture. Hang on to it. Every day declare it. And the other thing is just to understand that he is a friend, but he's a polite friend. So if you don't reach out to him, he'll just wait. But the thing is, his heart is always for us to reach out for him first. And the other thing is, everywhere you are, wherever you are, pray all the time. Your spirit man will always be drawn to pray for him if you're willing.
I do want to add to that with the scripture stuff. If you've had a moment in your life where you feel like it's just a prayer's not working, you're like, prayer's not working. I don't understand. Other people pray, but it's just, there's like a block. It's like nothing seems to work. I actually think in the scripture I read before where Jesus actually says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. There's this moment, there's something about forgiveness and God moving. Forgiving those that have sinned against you and God moving. It actually impacts your prayer life. And you've got to obviously ask for forgiveness yourself. And like you said, sometimes the first thing is, God, I'm sorry for the stuff in my own life. Get right with God before you enter in. And just go, God, whatever it is you need to deal with me in my own life, would you deal with me? I'm sorry. I ask for a fresh start, forgiveness, and then start to pray. It's amazing how that can actually break off so much. Forgiveness is such a powerful thing. Asking for forgiveness, but also forgiving those that have sinned against you. Jesus taught us that, and I think that's really important when it comes to praying. And we just want to encourage you. As I said, this year, we've got this course starting on the 6th of February. And I'm really excited because, as I said, it's the foundation of prayer. It's not everything we could go into for weeks and weeks and weeks. There's so many different forms of prayer. But I think if you get the foundations right, you can build on that. And I want to encourage you guys, even today, as you go away, when you get in your car, maybe it's with your family, go, we're going to pray for this week, what God has in store for us. Maybe you want to pray for another thing that Beck and I have done for years, and that's pray for a word for the year. God, what is the word for the year for us? What do you want to say to us this year? Give me a word that drops in my spirit. You'd be amazed how quickly God will work and actually reveal a word to you. I often find that God will reveal the word within about a split second, and then you'll go, that can't be that. And then about a week later, you'll know that was it, right? If you go, God, show me what you have for me. But then to confirm that word, pray that God will give you a scripture to back it up. Because the word of God will confirm it. So if you've got a word, whatever it might be, maybe on peace or faith, or maybe it's strength or whatever it might be, then go to the word, go to the scripture and go, God, give me a word to confirm that word. Give me the scripture to confirm it and write it down. Because God will speak through it throughout your year. So that's some really simple tips on prayer. Well, as we wrap up, I want to ask you guys to pray for us, if that's okay. Paul, you're going to pray for us. Anna, you want us to, just for our church, that we'll actually seek God in our prayer life this year, that we'll actually get to know God on a relational level, and God will show us which way to go in 2020. Paul, let's pray.
Yes, Lord, we just thank you, Lord God. Thank you. We come to you. Open hearts, Lord God. Open ears, Lord God. We just thank you that you speak to us, and Lord God, we just thank you that you're going to direct us, Lord God, as families, as this church. Lord God, we just thank you for the leadership of this church, Beck and Az, Lord God. Thank you that you're guiding them, Lord God. And we just thank you for the families that aren't here, Lord God, in this time. Thank you, Holy Spirit, just comforting, looking after them, Lord God. We thank you that just revelation comes, Lord God. And we expect to hear testimonies of your goodness, of your provision, of your words. You know, and we just thank you so much. We lift it up to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Can we give it up for Paul and Anna? Thank you so much, guys. And if you want prayer, go to those guys because, I'm just joking. Just go track them down. Go, you will pray for us, all right? That does wrap up our service for today. And, guys, we want to hear your stories about how you step out and pray. And when God shows up, don't forget it. You know, reach out to us on social media or whatever and say, hey, I prayed today and this happened. Share your testimonies because it actually is an encouragement to the body of Christ when you go, man, you know, that we prayed, literally prayed for that and God showed up. I will never forget a moment where
you know, Beck had this moment, like I came home from work and it was about 10 p.m. at night. She just felt so in her spirit that her job, which she'd been working, she loved, of about 4 years, her time was up in that job. And I was like, don't quit your job. We need the money. You know, I was like trying to rationalize it, but she knew that God was speaking. And we just prayed together. I remember Beck praying, God, we'll just shut the door, open the door, whatever you have for me. I don't know where to go, because there was no other options apart from that job. And we prayed that night, and literally the next morning, we were having breakfast, having a meeting at 8 a.m. Beck's phone rings. She takes the call, comes back to Brecky. We finish it. And I say to Beck, what was that call? She goes, you never believe it. A lady has just called us. It's just called her and said, hey, Beck, we know you'd probably never, ever consider leaving your job. Would you ever consider coming and working for us? It was in like within 10 hours. And I remember looking at Beck going, I don't even care what the job is. We're saying yes. And, you know, it ended up being the greatest blessing. Instead of having to drive to Brisbane, we were just based on the Gold Coast. The job was just down the road. And God made a way and opened a door. But it was listening to God and then also praying, God, show us. We just knew that God answered prayer right then and there. And I've seen that time and time again in my life, and I pray that for you in 2022. You'll just see God show up. So I'm just going to wrap up the day with some prayer. Then we're going to go out with a great song. Today we've got ice creams for everyone on the way out, okay? Because you got here, guys. You dodged COVID so far. Okay, so... so far. But let me pray. God, I just thank you for this church community. God, I thank you for what you're going to do in 2022. And God, I thank you that we will be a praying church. God, that we will seek you first and foremost every day of our life and not everything else. God, we'll come to you with our needs, but also with our heart of thankfulness that God, you have got us in your hand. God, we thank you for what you've done on the cross for us, the freedom that you bring. God, I pray that you will stir up a heart of prayer in this house as we go forward into the year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.